And you never know who you run in contact to, what they've been exposed to or whatever. So it's real hard to prevent this thing. And you all know that Hemachandra and them wear masks when they come to church the whole time. So they're very careful about it. But we hope that Cindy's family, Jimmy didn't have near as bad a case as Cindy had. And he's well and here. Glad to have him back today. Sharon Scruggs was ill for several days with stomach issue. They're going camping this weekend in Tennessee, I believe. She thinks the fresh air will do her good. She is feeling much better. And thanks you for your prayers. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bibles today. This is Memorial Weekend. Tomorrow, Monday, is Memorial Day. It used to be called Decoration Day because the whole theme of Memorial Day is not about veterans. It's not about recognizing veterans and thanking them for their service, though we always appreciate when people do that. But it's about remembering those who died in the war and their families. What used to be called the Gold Star Mothers, who had a son in World War II as they posted their gold stars in their windows. And so many were killed in the battle. The Southern women decorating the graves of the Confederate soldiers, a Yankee general saw that and declared a national day as Decoration Day, which became Memorial Day. And this was something that transcends divisions of people. We all grieve for those who die in war. Not just for those who are on our side, but for those who die in war. They leave behind, just like Americans do, moms and dads and sisters and brothers and wives and children who will grieve and mourn at their loss. And so Memorial Day is a time for us to remember. Many people do decorate the graves of their family on this weekend, and that's fine. Many will decorate the veterans. The U.S. Army's 3rd Regiment Infantry Group will place 228,000 flags on the headstones of the graves in Arlington National Cemetery. There are 7,000 rows of the dead who have died in the wars. The wars take many. Many die from wounds, but many die in actual combat. I have the list of about 25 wars where people have died, Americans. In the War of 1812, 15,000 Americans died. In the War against Mexico, 13,283. In the Civil War, sadly, a division among us where both sides were Americans, 655,000 died as a result of the war. 214,000 of those died in actual combat. World War I, we lost 116,000 Americans, and 53,000 of them died in actual combat. World War II, 405,399 Americans died. 291,557 of them were in combat. Korea, 36,516, and 33,000 of them were in combat when they died. Vietnam, 58,220. 47,434 of them died in combat. Afghan and Iraq wars that were tied together, many of those who were in Iraq went 2 and 3 tours and also into Afghanistan. Some of our church members at the time were involved. A total of 6,792 died, 5,669 of them were in deaths in combat. So we remember the dead. We remember the greatest memorial that we have of all is we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us that we might have everlasting life. We pray for those who've lost their loved ones in their grief that they might turn to the Lord and find Him who they need so much. 1 Timothy chapter 2 in your Bibles this morning. I'm speaking on the great doctrines of the Bible, what the Bible teaches on specific subjects. Today we will look at the doctrine of substitution. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ took our place. He died our punishment. He died our death. He was our substitution. In Isaiah 53, if you'd like to look with me there, another word that means the exact same thing is the word vicarious. Vicarious is substitutionary. Christ substituted himself for us. He took our punishment. In the English church, a pastor is often called vicar. A vicar is one who is instead of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are all that Christ suffered and died for us, and we now are his ambassadors. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So everyone who is a witness for Christ, appealing to people be saved, are standing in substitution for Christ at that moment with his word of reconciliation unto men. In Isaiah 53, and beginning with verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, substituted himself for us. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. It was because of our sin that Christ died on Calvary. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Imagine all the iniquity of the human race was laid upon Christ. That's why he died even the death of the cross, to pay that price for us. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Let's skip down to verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Christ bore my iniquities. Christ bore in his own body on the tree your sins and my sins and paid the price. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless in the understanding of the great term substitution or vicarious, where Christ substituted himself for us and took our judgment upon himself. Pray your blessings upon the congregation, and if anyone who sees this on live streaming or is here in the service is not yet saved, that they might comprehend today your great love that gave your son to die for us, that we might have life eternal by faith in him. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. To be reconciled to God. I think that was Nadia's grandchild witnessing back there. She's a great witness, and her family is here today. Welcome from Greenville, South Carolina. It's really nice to have you here. I think one of the most common usages of substitution we learn very early in our school is a substitute teacher. the teacher's sick, or if it's a lady and she's expecting and she's out for giving birth or something of that nature, their regular teacher's not there, they have a substitute teacher, one who stands in for her, one who takes her place. And that's what Christ did for us. The words substitution and the word vicarious are not found in the scripture, but the fact that he took our sin upon himself as a substitute is clearly taught in many passages of scripture and is a major doctrine of the Word of God. In weddings, there are substitutes. Many women have a practice in a wedding. There are so many traditions and things that men will never understand that women want to do in a wedding. They usually wear a white dress. They usually have a substitute when they're practicing taking their vows. And the bride can sit by and watch as somebody else takes her vows for her in practice. She's a substitute. Then on the day of the wedding, she has to wear something old, something new, something barred, something blue. I don't think that makes one difference to your commitment and your love for your husband and your marriage. But if you want to do that, you know, have at it. We use this expression, substitution, all the time. We might be a substitute for somebody on a ball team. We might be a substitute for someone at work in a different job than what we normally do because they are out and they need a substitute. This teaching is in Scripture very clearly that Christ substituted himself in the death of the cross for us, that we might have life through him and what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. God was within his realm of power and justice to have destroyed Adam and Eve on the day they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for he had warned them, in the day you eat of it, ye shall surely die. And they died a spiritual death on that day. But God did not annihilate them. Instead, he killed animals and clothed them with the skins, making a substitution for his wrath rather than upon Adam and Eve. And that was the type of Christ, the Lamb of God, who would die for the sins of the world. All the way back in Genesis 3:15, there is that promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And that is the first promise of the Messiah to come. And certainly he accomplished that in his death, burial, and resurrection. Now they lost fellowship with God. They lost paradise. They were expelled from the garden. But a sacrifice was made on their behalf to substitute for them suffering the punishment. And they were taught to make sacrifices every year in symbol to cover their sins until the Redeemer came to pay the price. Israel was given seven major feasts in Exodus. These all involved things. Later feasts were Purim and Hanukkah were added. But they all involve a gathering of the people, an assembly, a time of repentance of their sin, a time that a substitute would die to pay for their sins, offering the animal sacrifice like the Passover lamb or the Day of Atonement with the two goats, and how people would, the priest or the people would place their hand upon the sacrifice, identifying with the sacrifice. That's exactly what we must do in order to be saved. We must identify with Christ who died on the cross for us and ask God to cleanse us and forgive us of our sins, believing on Jesus and that he was raised from the dead. We know these substitutes only cover sin, but Christ could take sin away forever and forever. And he became the substitute for us all. The word "for" is used in our text when it talks about Christ substituting himself. And it means instead of or in the place of Christ suffered these things. In Leviticus, it tells of the offering for the priest. He would offer the bullock. And in the congregation, he would offer the young bullock. And the ruler of the land, a kid goat, would be offered. A male without blemish. There's that symbol of Christ, the male without sin, who could die for our sins. And the common people had a goat, a kid, a female, and they would lay hands upon it and identify as their substitute. Back in Isaiah 53, verse 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. All these verses, verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He became a curse for us that he might pay the price for our sins, Galatians 3:13. In 1 Peter, if you'd like to turn there with me, chapter 3 and verse 18. First Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And that word quickened means made alive. Christ suffered for us. He paid the price. He is the substitute for you and for me. Israel as a nation did not believe on him when he came and presented himself to them as the Messiah. John 1:11 and 12, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Religious leaders of Israel should have welcomed him, as John the Baptist did when he saw Jesus at the baptism. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In John 1, verse number 29. But instead, the Jewish leadership sought to silence him and to kill him. So much that Jesus said, they were not the sons of Abraham as they thought. Because seeking to murder Jesus, they had become the sons of the devil. In John chapter 8 and verse number 44. Paul wrote, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Imagine the suffering, the shame, and the death of the cross. He'd been up all night on trial, being mocked and beaten and slashed with the cat of nine tails, bearing all these marks upon his body, bleeding, suffering. He went to the cross and was nailed on the cross. And yet he did not cry out against his tormentors. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The truth clearly told, these men did not know he was the Son of God, or they would have bowed their knee in fear and respect instead of crucifying him. He substituted himself for another that day. He was a terrible criminal by the name of Barabbas. And the ruler said, shall I free Barabbas as the occasion of the feast calls for letting one man go? Should I free Barabbas or Jesus? And his thoughts in his own mind were that surely they would say free Jesus. But instead they said free Barabbas and crucify Jesus. He was rejected. He took our place as he did Barabbas' place. And he could have called 10,000 angels to set him free. But he died alone for you and me, as the songwriter wrote. Men questioned, how could God allow this to take place? This was God's plan all along. The Bible teaches us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, for him to suffer, to pay the price, because he was doing it for you and for me. His creation, his creatures, were lost and undone and would die and be separated forever from the one who made them. But he stepped forth. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He took our place. He died substitutionary death for you and for me. He became the sin sacrifice, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says. He became sin, the one who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became the sacrifice for our sins. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are accepted by God and received into his family as sons and daughters. In faith, we are identified with Christ in his substitution for us. Romans 6, I begin with verse number 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Look at verse 17, if you would, with me. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." What God has done for those who simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who see that it took that sacrifice to pay for our sins. Our sins were great and they were many, but Christ substituted himself. He was despised and rejected. He has borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. He was taken from prison in judgment. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall bear their iniquities, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. He poured out his soul unto death. It must not be forgotten. It must be remembered. The memorial that Christ laid down his life for us, substituting himself. He said, a man who lays down his life for another. What kind of person does that? Many in the military by the thousands have done that through the years for freedom and liberty's cause. In World War I and World War II, America served in the danger of world rulers trying to take over the world and impress communism and dictatorship upon all nations. And America stood in the forefront of sacrifice in those wars. In Korea, we went there to try to help those people stay free.
And South Korea has stayed free, thank God. In Vietnam, it was a loss. And North Vietnam took over South Vietnam when we pulled out in 1975. And it has become a communist country. China is a communist country. And these rule over men. An even more strange religious belief that rules over men with dictatorship are the Muslims. In the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, we went there to try to liberate those people from that kind of oppression. And they were our enemies and attacked us, as the Japanese did at Pearl Harbor, an unprovoked attack. The Muslim extremists flew the four planes into the United States of America to bring destruction upon us and killed almost 4,000 people in the process. If not for the faithfulness of people on the plane that stopped it, they would have crashed one of those into the White House. We have suffered, many dead for freedom's cause. And we are thankful for those who serve. And we need to be thankful to the families who laid their sons and daughters in harm's way for us all. And for those who suffered the ultimate sacrifice of death, let us not forget the price of war. And let us not forget the price Jesus paid for us as a substitution for our sins. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word today. We pray your blessings upon those who are here and those watching on the live streaming. We thank you for them and we pray you'll bless them today with peace and help. Bless your people here. Help us to make the decisions we should, to recognize you suffered for us. Let us now live for you. Let us now walk in newness of life because of your sacrifice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.